my powers of imagination were not enlarged, for that was not necessary in order that I behold from a broader viewpoint and with a stronger grasp of the understanding relating to life up to my present attainment. My vision was so clear below me and beyond to a certain point that there were no obstacles in my way, but I knew that, in order to penetrate still further beyond, I must grow toward such a state of being, just as I had grown toward my present state of attainment. 94. As I rested upon the growth and development of my life from its material conception up to there, present time, it was clearly revealed that the purpose and plan of my existence had been most peculiar. Even in this state of my being, my mission seemed to be to enter into different spheres of action. I learned that not many were called during the period of 1 or 2 years to these higher regions, and, usually, if they were called, they remained here to carry out a particular work of this region, but here was I, not a great while ago an inhabitant of the physical plane, in these higher regions for the purpose of gaining light upon the marvelous conceptions of creation that I might hand the information down to those who were ready to receive it, either on the earth, in the spirit world, or in heaven. Surely, my mission was a peculiar one. I had been called upon to take on conditions, through the influence of higher powers, that others might have been years in reaching, since it would be the plan that they work out their own higher conditions without any special dispensation from the higher powers. Already I had been regenerated through spiritual death a number of 95 times, and to return to my former condition the particles of my regenerated body would be disintegrated again and readjusted until I was in the proper condition to become an inmate of a celestial body. How absurd, you will say, and the question may arise as to why it should be necessary when one was in such close touch with the higher powers. Why could I not be called up into the higher realms without having to pass through these strange conditions? My reply is, that the immutable law of higher being makes it essential that the process described be gone through with. Before experiencing it, I was filled with wonder, but not fearful, since previous experience had taught me to be fearless. Each time Pan passed through the experience of regeneration the conditions were different, but each time they were of absorbing interest to me. I did not wish to lose my identity nor become absorbed in the universal. And when assured by my beloved teacher and guide that such an idea was simply a conception of man's mind, I was ready and, 90, eager for any experience that the higher powers saw fit to send me. While in God's kingdom and the kingdom of the blessed, the experiences that came to me were so far reaching and wonderful that, viewed from a material conception of time, it would have seemed that I had passed through the experiences of thousands of years. During the period which would only mark about 2 weeks of material time, the wisdom that I gained made me feel as though I were many years older, not in appearance, but in the realization of things. I had ideas of God power and creative law that the lifetime of material or even celestial life could not have brought to me. I did not need a brain in that higher state of being, whereby I might convey my realization to my own consciousness and to those with whom I would converse. I possessed the divine element, of which my brain had been a manifestation while clothed in the garment of the flesh. My celestial mind had not been brain either, but a higher manifestation of brain element, nearer perfect and capable of greater power. 97. Upon returning to my celestial condition, my mind would take on the peculiar element it had possessed before. I had been regenerated, and some very wonderful and sublime experiences I had known in the kingdoms above would pass from my comprehension entirely and I would have no memory of them whatever. After visiting God's kingdom twice, the process of regeneration would scarcely be perceptible to me, and what I saw and experienced would be ever after retained in my memory. So, after 2 years and 4 months in heaven, every experience I have known and everything I have seen, from the spiritual world to the supreme realms of God, is clearly pictured in my mind. Frequently I say to myself, I am 1,000 years young, I have had experiences may have not had who have lived 1,000 years, and yet I am young and fair in appearance. My soul is alive and vibrant with plans for the future, and I am happy and more glad of life as each day passes, not for myself alone, but for those who are to follow after me and whom my influence is to lead heavenward. 93. And this is what the experience men call death has brought to me. It has brought to me a higher and deeper conception of life than I ever knew before. It has given back to me my youth, my health, and the realization of greater achievements for the future. It has shown me a picture of the years to come, when I shall have attained the standard of power that will enable me to help others triumph over material obstacles, thereby helping them to attain their ends and their ambitions. 2 years and more in heaven have shown me the wonders which God in His love and wisdom has prepared for His earthly children. They have restored me to those who left me for a little while to pass on to the realms of the summer land. Surely God is good, His mercy is everlasting and His love endured forever. Part 3. A pilgrimage to the infinite land, and it hath been decreed, that the angelic being known as Rose, the sunlight eye, is to be called upon to take up a higher work, that for this purpose she is to be taken up into, the kingdom of the blessed, that to appear before Ovanan, supreme divine ruler of the 253rd kingdom of the infinite, known as the kingdom of the blessed, that there shall he send forth the elect of this kingdom to welcome the daughter of light to the courts of the Most High, that this shall be an occasion of advancement for all those who perform a noble work in the name God, from the sacred books of the kingdom of the blessed. Chapter 1, A Pilgrimage to the Infinite Land. There were four of us, and we were bound for the mighty realms of the infinite. One of our party was the greatest spiritual teacher the world has ever known, and the other three were earnest, sincere souls, who had been especially honored by the higher powers and chosen to make this remarkable pilgrimage to the higher realms of the infinite. Two of the party were to visit God's kingdom and the third, who had already been twice to that far region in space, had now been called to a still higher realm of the infinite, known as the kingdom of the blessed. Leaving the celestial sphere and the angelic friends who bade us Godspeed, we moved far up in spiritual space. In attempting to comprehend space, one should consider that it consists of two parts, or strata, the outer being material and the inner spiritual space. It may then be understood by this that while we were at a distance as far away from the Earth as the farthest visible planets, we were still not passing through the regions where the planetary bodies exist. Sometimes we floated or glided through space, and then again we made use of our spiritual limbs and feet and walked through it. We were filled with anticipation of what awaited us in the great realms beyond, I being the third soul of our company, before mentioned, to whom had been given the honor of visiting the kingdom of the blessed. Upon my last trip to the region of God's kingdom, my vision had not been open to all that transpired there, but I had been given to understand that upon my third trip to this kingdom I would be enabled to see and comprehend more than upon the two previous occasions. We moved rapidly through space and seemed to travel over a pathway of our own, as, for a great distance, we beheld no celestial beings traveling in our direction. The beloved counselor and guide who accompanied our little party gave forth words of cheer and encouragement as we moved through space. No doubt his spiritually illumined soul turned frequently toward the anticipation of the great honor to be conferred upon him when he should be crowned supreme divine ruler of the spheres. It was a wonderful truth to contemplate that we three souls, who had never accomplished any grand work for the cause of humanity, should be moving through space with this being, the being honored and worshipped by gods, saints, spirits, and men as the immortal Son of God. The electricity and magnetic power of the atmosphere through which we were passing was something marvelous. The vibrations per second could not be estimated in numbers. We were conscious of such a mighty power vibrating through our spiritual beings that we felt it was grand, glorious, and wonderful to live, especially when he could behold the evidences of God's mighty wisdom and love and the created expressions of the universe. I beheld many things in the enchanted region through which we were passing that I had not been privileged to behold in my previous trips to God's kingdom. This was certainly a realm of temples, whose grandeur mere words could never picture. Some of the temples we beheld appeared to move. We could cover quite a distance in space, and still buildings that seemed quite near to us in the beginning of our trip were to be reached. We planned to pass through all the temples and other buildings where we would be permitted to enter. There were thousands of them, independent of the individual temples, belonging to the people of the earth plane, who had built them through the acts of their lives and the motives that prompted them. Some of the people appeared as though enveloped in a mist, others were bright and dazzling in appearance. Many were in the course of construction, and I could tell by their appearance whether their creators were making a good or a poor use of the powers the Creator had given them. We did not stop in our flight through these great realms of space until we had reached a point which we learned was termed the circumference of evolution. In a perfectly round stratum of atmosphere, of over 100 different colors, appeared a temple which must have been over 1,000 stories in height. This was the Temple of Evolution, representing the progress of creation throughout ages of time. The building was perfectly round and was formed of electric atoms, whose vibrations increased in rate from the lowest story to the highest. We were ushered into the council room of this building by our guide and teacher, the beloved Jose. This room was filled with the most powerful violet light that we had ever seen, and in all directions could be seen spheres of very intense light, resembling miniature suns. In the center of the building was a circle of light more powerful than any of the others, and the rays from the spheres of light all radiated toward the great central light. We did not realize at first that these lights were the immortal God, centers of great beings, whose spiritual parts had been disintegrated for the time being. The great central light, toward which the others vibrated, was the God, center of the supreme divine ruler of the spheres. This must be the state, I thought, that I had heard the Buddhists term karma or going into the quintessence. Behold, as I looked I saw the spiritual form of our great guide and teacher separate in the atmosphere, and as it separated I beheld a great light appear and form a circle about the great central light, and these words seemed to vibrate through the atmosphere: "Worship thou my son, for he is my representative and is the light which emanates from me." Presently this light moved about 6 inches from the central light, and a circle of pale, delicate light appeared between the beloved Jose and the great ruler. The three souls who stood the watching this curious phenomenon received this interpretation in their souls: "This one, who has not yet attained human form, shall someday act between two great powers, first between material and spiritual power, then between spiritual and celestial power, and so on through different degrees of power, throughout all eternity." Suddenly, without any apparent warning, the two remaining members of our party and myself were conscious of that great central power vibrating toward us, and the next instant our spiritual forms became disintegrated. I had passed through IO7, this experience on previous occasions, so it was not new to me, as it was to the two other dear souls who had wondered not a little regarding this experience, through which, they had been told, they would pass in their trip to God's kingdom. The experience seemed more wonderful to me, however, than upon previous occasions. My mind attained a consciousness of my own possibilities and powers and of future conditions for the world, which I am unable to realize as clearly since being restored to my normal spiritual condition. While in a state of spiritual disintegration on previous occasions, I was unable to realize but 12 senses. But now I was enabled to realize at least 25. I realized no limitations while in this state, and could look forward to my own unfoldment for thousands of years to come. I had previously believed that the condition termed spiritual was the highest term that could be applied to a man or a woman through the eternal stages of progression throughout ages of time, but upon this occasion I learned there were conditions as far beyond the spiritual as the kingdom of the blessed was beyond the earth. IO8. While in the condition of disintegration before mentioned, I was able to foresee the possibilities and attainments of others in whom I was interested. This peculiar power of disintegration lasted for only a few moments, and, almost before we realized it, we were restored to our former condition. With a restoration we felt ourselves to be wonderfully invigorated and strengthened. We were now in the presence of mighty rulers and great personages, of whom a number were of such high order and of such great power that they were only partly visible to us. Some were so bright and dazzling in appearance that they seemed to be in a perfect blaze of light. We beheld a number who were, at least, 15 feet tall. They had very large heads and faces and the most wonderful eyes I had ever beheld. They were as large as silver dollars, very luminous and deep, and not at all out of proportion to their faces, a very imposing looking personage, whom we afterward learned was King Solomon, came forth through a curtain of light and conducted us into an inner sanctuary, where unnumbered hosts of celestial beings of both sexes had assembled. They, Ionine, were all clothed in light, and I learned that they belonged to the order of sun angels. We three travelers from the celestial sphere were to be taken into this order. We learned that the number taken in during a year never exceeds 4, so it would seem again that we were especially honored. One would naturally suppose that we would be embarrassed in the midst of such company, but we appeared to be perfectly self-possessed. A very bright being, whom we learned was a character of history, and who bore the name of Hypatia, seemed to be at the head of the order. She spoke to us and bade us welcome. Daughters of the celestial realm, she said, we welcome you to our courts of light. Comma the starbeam, rose the sunlight, and grace the vestal, you shall henceforth be ready at any time to respond to a call from these regions to take part in our ceremonies twice during a year, and to go forth, whenever bidden to do so, upon errands of mercy to the earth. The names by which you will be known in these higher realms are Rose the Counselor, Emma the Respondrand, Grace the Messenger. The ceremony which made us members of the Order of Sun Angels was very beautiful indeed. Of course, we felt honored, as anyone would upon whom such blessings were bestowed. We were clothed in garments of light, with wreaths of golden roses about our heads. After the close of the ceremony, we were made the guests of honor of the Order. During this ceremony, we met many wonderful beings that time will not permit me to mention now. Our next experience was to be a very interesting one, for we were to pass entirely through the Temple of Evolution. The beloved guide and teacher, before mentioned, would accompany us and explain conditions which we might not understand, even though we had recently passed through experiences that had quickened our powers of understanding. We passed upward from the compartment where we had been taken into the Order of Sun Angels, and, entering a large dome-shaped part of the building, we saw an apparently living representation of creation in the process of evolution. We saw that power came first from above to quicken into life and action the first plane of Earth. I say the first plane of Earth, because there have been a great many Earth planes, as the higher realms of the infinite have continued to move, so have the lower realms of the finite world moved on. The process has been so gradual that material people have not been able to realize it. But the angel world, from time immemorial, have been watching the process of evolution. They know that what is now the first sphere of the spirit world was once the earth. They know that when the first sphere of the spiritual world moves up to form the second, that which is now the earth will have become the first sphere of the spiritual world. They know that a new earth is gradually being formed within the present earth, and that the time will come when this earth goes on and the earth plane now being formed will take its place, but the change will be so gradual that only angels and very wise people will be able to tell that such a process has taken place. In the process of evolution we beheld many angelic beings who had been made proficient in chemical lore, sent out into the atmosphere beneath the spiritual world to work with other vibrations and their spiritual batteries upon the forces of atoms that were being evolved by certain planets as they moved in their orbits. We saw the Earth plane, throughout ages of time, increasing in size and becoming more fit for the habitation of material man. We saw the spiritual process, manifested by angelic beings through the power of God, by which the highest work of the Creator was made manifest. While we were watching the process of evolution on the different parts of the Great Temple, we for the time being were living in the age represented, so real did the representation appear to be. Of course, it was all very interesting and fascinating. We thought of a dear one on Earth, whom we wished might be able to view the different scenes with us. We felt wonderfully buoyant and strong, and no thought of weariness or fatigue was anticipated by our little party. We never did believe that man sprung from animals, but that he was a distinct individual entity, and, after passing through the Temple of Evolution, we were more than ever convinced of man's distinct individuality. The upper part of this wonderful building was devoted to the present age and what is to be accomplished before the dawn of another century. We saw the process by which revelations that have been developing and unfolding for ages of time in realms far beyond the kingdom of the blessed were to be handed down to the earth plane. Pictures of these higher realms and of the beings who inhabit them will be given by great artists to the celestial world, and from that they will he handed clown to the earth plane in a most marvelous and beautiful manner. Events taking place in those higher realms, and positive information regarding those who have passed on to higher fields of action, will be given in a clear and convincing way. We were anxious to explore our own temples and that of one connected with us who was of the earth, but, as we had many points of interest to visit in God's kingdom, we decided to leave the exploration of these temples until the last. In this way it would give us something to anticipate while we were at the same time enjoying the other interesting points. I had visited a great many of the temples before on previous trips, but, of course, intended to explore them again. I believed certain marvelous facts in connection with these great temples. There were the temples of the sun, moon, stars, and earthy gods' temple, the temple of divinity, the temple of chemistry, the temple of geology, and others too numerous to mention. There was the palace of John the Baptist, the castle of Swedenborg, and the abiding places of many gifted people, who had lived in ages past and gone. In this vast domain a great many of the inhabitants remained, never going to the celestial, spiritual, or material worlds. They were so very wise, however, that it was unnecessary, as their powers were sufficient to put them in touch with these places while their spiritual forms remained in God's kingdom. Oh, strange and wonderful scenes and experiences through which these spiritual travelers were privileged to pass. Time could never remove the indelible impressions produced upon the plastic structures of their spiritual minds. God's kingdom was indeed a strange place, but wonderfully fascinating. There was an exclusiveness about everything that had not been realized in any previous plane of existence. The wisdom of the people there was something extraordinary. The inhabitants of that region had attained that stage of unfoldment which made them desire to be busy continually with something that fed the mind and caused the higher senses to expand. They had great plans to work upon and carry out, for they must be in touch with the inhabitants of the realm above that they might receive ideas from them to be given to the celestial and spiritual worlds and to the earth plane. The celestial travelers seemed to catch the spirit of the place, and, while they were eager to behold all its marvels, they still desired to put some good and wise purpose into every experience. Everything they beheld seemed interesting to them. They would hand down to the earth a great deal of the information gained in these experiences. They well knew that not all who bade the opportunity to receive the knowledge would accept it as little truth, but if there was occasionally a mind fitted to receive it, the efforts they made to give the information to the people of Earth would not be in vain. They never stopped to rest from the beginning of the trip to the end, for rest was entirely unnecessary to beings who felt such a continuous exhilaration as they did, and, as they had to take in a great deal during a comparatively short time, they must make every moment count. The Temple of the Earth, a strange, grey structure, was an object of interest to them for several reasons. One reason was that a certain being for whom they cared dwelt there, and it had been made clear to them that for a number of years yet they would be given a most important work to carry out on the earth. The Temple of Earth and the Temple of Convolution were similar in what they revealed, but the latter went more into details over the extraordinary progress of humanity than did the former. The member of the little party who had visited God's kingdom upon two previous occasions had been shown two sun temples, but upon this occasion three sun temples were revealed, the sun temple of the material world and the temples of the great central sun and its Sunday. They were formed about each other according to the manner in which they move and space. The spiritual traveler last mentioned was led to believe that upon her next trip to God's kingdom her spiritual vision would unfold to the degree that would enable her to behold still another sun temple. The temple of godly power, a creation from which emanated white light of such magnitude and power that a celestial being before entering its domain must undergo a transformation by the chemists of the temple, was a point of great interest to the celestial travelers. In this place they were enabled to behold scenes taking place for at least six heavens above God's kingdom. They could not grasp the perfect meaning of Alt that was shown to them, but by the aid of the beloved guide and teacher who accompanied them, they beheld much that seemed to them very wonderful indeed. The beings of those higher regions had evidently gone far beyond spirituality, if one could judge anything by their appearance. There was no word in their language strong enough to touch their wonderful ethereal forms and the glorious light that emanated from their soft, deep eyes. The celestial travelers were curious to know the state of being they possessed in those far regions. Did they possess feelings and emotions? Could they enjoy the pleasures of existence, or had they attained that state of quintessence which some thinkers claim does not partake of the nature of any sense that even celestial beings take cognizance of? The celestial travelers were wonderfully fascinated by what they learn regarding these higher stages of being. The following are some of the statements made by the beloved teacher who accompanied them. The life of those glorious beings you see transmitted upon your vision is a rapture so glorious that it transcends even the celestial conception of joy, bliss, happiness, etc. The idea of peace being the highest attainment of man's superior being is hardly correct, for perfect peace would mean the end of aspiration and the fulfillment of progression. I say to you, you love a certain expression of godly power, it may be a person of the opposite sex, it may be some gift of the soul, such as art, music, or poetry. Is it not a grander thought to believe that when you have attained degrees of sense 25 times higher than you now possess, your nature will have unfolded to the state that it will enjoy the very expressions that you now love and a more perfect degree of realization? If the affection is centered upon those who have not attained your degree of realization, if you possess the power to behold those persons as they will be when they have attained the same standard of unfoldment that you now have. This is not imagination, it is enlarged vision, magnifying what really exists. Sex is eternal with the individual and is not purely physical. Thus, spiritual sex is a higher expression of this great law than physical sex. Celestial sex is higher than spiritual sex and divine sex is higher than the others mentioned. Do away with sex and you do away with the individuality of the person. If a being who has unfolded the tenth sense could imagine for one moment the full extent of the rapture of existence to those who have attained the 25th sense, he could not endure its intensity, but would be plunged at once into the universal, instead of moving on toward peace in the eternal plan of things. Life becomes broader, freer, fuller, and more creative. When you analyze this fact, you realize that some forms of religious belief leave out that which is conducive to the greatest joy, the greatest happiness. The forms of the celestial travelers were many degrees more ethereal than they had been before the transformation or disintegration took place. Their garments seemed to be woven of delicate threads of light, and wherever they moved they left a glow of light of their particular color. One was a gold light, vibrating with rose color and delicate blue, another was violet, and the other rose color and white. These celestial travelers thought often of one very dear to them, far away upon the earth plane, and they were given the power to behold that person whenever they desired to do so. In the council hall of this temple of godly power, the celestial travelers beheld many things that were marvelous and beyond power of description. In a crystal circle 1,000 feet in circumference, they beheld a representation of their created work of 25 ruling gods. As they were quite unlike anything of the earth, the spiritual or celestial worlds in shape, size, or color, it would be impossible to describe them to anyone who had never been privileged to look upon anything similar. In one part of this temple, as guardians of the circle of the 65th degree of the order of light, were 100 beings, created by 100 ruling gods. These beings have never lived in earthly form, and from one degree of understanding they were absolutely perfect, still they were not perfect as compared with beings in higher realms. When these beings realized this fact, it worked upon the creative powers of their own beings and caused them to desire still greater perfection. This truth was a living demonstration of the fact that one may go on throughout all eternity acquiring still greater degrees of perfection, but never reaching the ultimatum of perfected being. Chapter 2. A Pilgrimage to the Infinite Land. The spiritual temples were, of course, objects of great interest, and the celestial travelers would have been glad to have remained longer in each of them than the time allotted to it, but they had a great work ahead of them and felt a great satisfaction in the thought that their time was to be so well occupied. The Temple of God was a building larger than Kansas City.